We're in a series right now. It's called Rooted. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of being rooted in the revelation of the indwelling Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Everyone say another comforter. "That he may abide with you forever." And so the Lord is talking to his disciples. He says, "I'm about to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter." And the word "another" in the Greek is allos, meaning another of the same kind, not another of a different kind. What Jesus was saying to them, that what I'm sending is like me in every way. And he will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically still present with you. Another comforter. The word "comforter" in the Greek is parakletos, and it literally means one that is called alongside to help. Aren't you glad we are never without help? Yeah. William Barclay says it this way: "The function of the Holy Spirit is to fill a man with a spirit of power and courage, which would make him triumphantly cope with life." He says he is called to render service, to help in a situation which a man by himself cannot cope. He will keep a man on his feet. I like that, don't you? In other words, he will enable us to stand, because he is our standby. So that means when he keeps us on our feet, we will not fall. We will not falter. We will not collapse. Because he is upholding all of us by the word of his power. He is upholding all of us by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. He further goes on to say he's called to render service. Amen. He will keep a man on his feet. The Holy Spirit enables him to pass the breaking point and not break. Amen. So no breakdowns. No nervous breakdowns. Amen. No physical breakdowns. No mental breakdowns. No financial collapses. Thank God he's rendering help for you and I 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Woo, glory to God. So he is not only here to give aid and assistance as our helper, but he is also, thank God, on the inside of us. He's called alongside to help because he lives in us. In John 14 and verse 16 in the Amplified Version, it says that he is our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, and our strengthener. He's your counselor. He will guide all of your decisions. He will guide you into all the truth. He is our wonderful guide living on the inside. He is our helper. He is employed to help us. He is our intercessor. Oh, come on, somebody. He is the one who intervenes on our behalf. He is our advocate. He's not there just to comfort us. He's there to defend us. He is our attorney. He is our strengthener, for he strengthens us daily with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that we can experience constant renewals of the Spirit every day of our life. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day by the strengthener.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say with me, he's strengthening us right now. And he's our standby. That means he's not idle. It means he's alert, he's attentive, and he's ready to intervene on our behalf. Everyone say, another comforter. He lives in me. In John 14 and verse 17, notice this verse. It says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." He shall be in you. We need a revelation of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, becoming God inside minded. Young's translation says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "No, have you not known that you are a sanctuary of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" In other words, he's settled down on the inside of you. He makes your temple his permanent residence. The Passion says he makes your temple his permanent home in you. Now, another way to refer to the indwelling Holy Spirit is what Paul wrote to the church at Rome about the spirit of adoption. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Thank God, no more bondage. No more bondage. The Spirit of God doesn't bring bondage. The Spirit of God brings liberty. And now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And so I want to encourage you, because you have been set free, now stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has already set you free. Amen. You see, we stand fast in that liberty by standing fast in the Word of God. We stand fast in the liberty by living our lives purely before the Lord and not yielding to the temptations that are all around us. He says here, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Look at your neighbor and say, "No fear here."
No fear here.
Amen. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, everyone say, "Abba, Father." Amen. This is the spirit of sonship. And here's what adoption looked like in Roman culture. In Roman culture, the adopted son received a new name. The adopted son received a new family. The adopted son received full inheritance rights. When the adopted son came into that family, all of his or her past debts were canceled. Does that remind you of what has happened to you? You're in a new family. You got a new father. You have been refamilied. And in this family, you've got full inheritance rights. Your past is gone. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a new day. It's a new season. You got new eyes. You got a new heart. And you can praise him all day long. Woo! Glory to God. Say of me, old things are passed away. You got refamilied. And in this family, not only do you have a new father, but you got new brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You got new brothers. You got a family here.
Amen.
You got people that love you. You got people that are praying for you. You got people that will stand with you in your midnight hour. You got people that will encourage you. You may even have people that will bake you some cookies. I think I lost some of you on that one. No, it's a new family, new brothers, new sisters, the family of God, la familia, and it ain't the mafia, it's the Father and his family, amen. Notice with me, Abba Father. Now, the Message says in verse 15, the resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" See, "What's next, Papa?" is the prayer of someone who knows that they belong.
Amen.
You belong in his family.
Amen.
The Father himself loves you. The Father will never turn you away. The father of the prodigal son did not turn him away. When he saw him from afar, he ran toward him with open arms. So if you've gotten away from the Father, just come on back. Come on back. Come on in and let the Father love you and let the Holy Spirit transform you and bring you to the place where God desires you to be. So when we say, "What's next, Papa?" we're not like servants waiting for orders from a legalistic figure. No, we're sons and daughters listening for our Father's voice. And he will speak to you. We see the same theme throughout the Bible in Galatians 4, verse 6. It says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Listen very carefully. The Spirit that adopted you inhabits you. Place your hand over your heart and say, "The Spirit that adopted me now inhabits me." Ooh, glory to God. And we could spend a lot of time this morning talking about the benefits of this glorious indwelling Holy Spirit. One benefit is so powerful in our lives. His residence on the inside of you will help you to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Amen. And if you look at Galatians chapter 5, you see all the fleshly things. But when you're walking in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit's presence within you, He will help you cultivate this marvelous fruit in your life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, for example, it says this, "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within you accomplishes you, is love." How many of you know the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts? By who? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come. Amen. And He has brought the Father's love on the inside of us. Oh, what can we do with this love? We can love one another. We can love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. The love of God enables you to forgive. The love of God enables you to see others the way the Father sees them. Amen. Amen. Now notice this again. "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love and joy." I believe that we ought to be the most joyful people on planet Earth. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It must be watered. It must be cultivated. It must be acted upon. Somebody says, "Well, I don't feel very joyful." Well, you can shout your way out of not feeling joyful into sensing the joy of the Lord. You can declare these things daily. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is on the inside of you. It's joy. And it's peace. It's a peace that this world knows nothing about. Cultivate the peace of God. When earth pressures come your way, draw from heaven's resources. Draw from the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Grow in peace. Grow in freedom from fear, if you will. Amen. It is peace. And we could go on and we could preach all day on the fruit. It's patience. How about this? An even temper. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, and even faithfulness. This is one of the greatest benefits of having the indwelling Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He will enable you to do what you will not be able to do through psychology. He will enable you to do what you'd never be able to do through natural means. Some people just try so hard and they try so hard. We need to stop striving and start trying and stop trying and just receiving from the Holy Spirit's presence on the inside of us. And let us walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
So when we become God inside minded, Holy Spirit inside minded, it will make a huge difference. You see, what you are conscious of will govern your life. What you are aware of will govern your life. And so we need to make sure that we have guardrails over our lives so that we don't slip into the consciousness of those things the enemy brings to our mind. You see, many Christians, and this is not a put down because they don't know any better, many Christians are sin conscious. Sin conscious. Where we could be and should be righteousness of God in Christ conscious. Other Christians are symptom conscious. Symptom of how they feel. Symptomatic of what's going on in their physical being. Well, instead of being symptom conscious, why don't we be quickener conscious? Amen. Pastor Mark, what do you mean be quickener conscious? Well, Romans 8:11 says, since the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead, he's going to quicken your mortal body. He can quicken your mortal body. And he will quicken you with your cooperation. We must not just stand idly by when these tests come against us, but we must rise up on the inside of us and stir ourselves up. And like we said last week, speak up. Amen. We just received the offering, did we not?
Yes.
And one of the things that Dr. Dufresne instructed us to say, I have a supply. Well, let's use that same theory, that same principle. I have a quickener. I have a quickener on the inside of me. I've got a healer and his name is Jesus. Amen. And then other people, they're problem conscious. Well, thank God we can look to the problem solver. You see, the New Testament calls us to be spirit conscious. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, I want you to read this with me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's read. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now stop right there. Have overcome who? We've overcome the devil. Because Jesus overcame the devil on our behalf. Amen. So we're not devil conscious. We're overcoming conscious. Let's go ahead and start from the beginning again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in you is the Holy Spirit. And he is greater than the little he that is in the world. So it would pay us rich dividends if we would become more greater is he that is in me minded than what's around us in this world. Say it with me, greater, much greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, if we are not Holy Spirit conscious, if you are not God inside minded, here's what can happen. Sometimes people pray and they want answers, but they pray as if God is distant. You know, that he's off somewhere. He's out there somewhere. Many believers pray like that he is distant. Come down, O Lord. Oh, come down, Jesus. Kumbaya, kumbaya. And through their honest effort, what they're trying to do is they're trying to pull him down so that he's closer to them. But Holy Spirit mindedness will change your prayer life. Your prayer life will begin to shift from begging to believing. Oh, glory to God. I think we hit a gusher right there. I'm going to say it again. You will change from begging to believing. I heard this many years ago and I can't improve on it. I love this statement. Believers are not beggars. Believers are not beggars. Believers find out what is theirs. Believers find out what God has already done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are not beggars. Believers are receivers. Woo, glory to God. Are you a receiver today? Brother Copeland says this all the time. And this is a good confession. Every day of your life, you get up in the morning and say, this is my receiving day. This is my receiving day. You out looking for a job? You need to declare, this is my receiving day. You need a promotion? Declare, this is my receiving day. You need to have favor with someone that needs to make a decision on your behalf? This is my favor day. This is my receiving day. This is my covenant day. Because I'm conscious. of my covenant that I have with a faithful God. I'm conscious of Him who lives on the inside of me. He walks with me and He talks with me and He leads me every day of my life. He'll give me what to say when I don't know what to say. He'll put me in the right place. And he will sanctify me through His glory and through His grace. Amen. Woo, glory to God. So no beggars here today, right? No beggars. Uh-uh. No, I better not say that. But I'm going to say it anyway. It's actually an insult to beg God when you know better.
Yeah, that's right.
Just be a receiver. Amen. Are you still here? Have you gone home? See, we are not trying to get God to come down. We are learning to yield to the God who already lives within.
Amen.
Yielding to the Holy Spirit within. What we do then is we pray from our union with Him. We pray from our communion with Him. Jesus said this. He said, if you abide in me, He said, now I've come to dwell in you by my Spirit.
Right.
Now you must abide in me by your effort to be conscious of who's living on the inside of you.
Amen.
If you abide in me, if you live in me, if you will commune with me, if you will put me first place in your life, if you will do these things, He said, you will ask what you will. You will ask what you will according to the will of God. And it shall, say it with me, it shall be done unto me. Here's another one. When we're conscious of Him, we'll become easily led by Him. Led by Him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, notice this verse. Let's read it together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Another way we could say it is this way. As many as are led by the Spirit of God who dwells in us, they are the sons of God. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And He will lead you and guide you and give you light. Notice what it does not say. It does not say for as many as are led by pressure. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit doesn't pressure you. It does not say as many as are pushed by the Spirit. No, the Spirit of God doesn't push us. He's a gentleman. He's going to prompt us. He's going to give us cues on the inside. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
When we are, it'll become easy to obey. It's not like we're checking a box, because our obedience is never intended to be mechanical. We stop checking boxes. We obey because we're walking with someone. And someone is walking with us. The revelation of Him living on the inside of you is the key to constant victory. Is anybody interested in having continual victory in their lives? Amen. Listen, have faith in the God who lives in you. Have confidence that He knows a whole lot more than you do. Have faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because when you have faith in His presence on the inside of you, it will activate Him to lead you, to guide you, to empower you, and to cause you to live in victory on a consistent basis. How many of you know that faith is a huge key in our walk with God?
Amen.
We quoted it last week. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Yeah.
But let's flip the switch. With faith, we can please Him all the time.
Amen. Amen.
And faith activates the Spirit of God on the inside of you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God. How many folks we got here that are born of God?
Amen.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the defeat.
No.
This is, you listen really good. This is the victory. This is the victory. What is the victory? This is the victory that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil, even our faith in a faithful God. So important to live, to walk by faith. Victory mindsets.
That's right.
Victory is not about you fasting more. Victory is not about us praying louder. Victory is not about fleshly activity trying to work something up.
Amen.
Are you here?
Amen.
No, victory is not about that. It's about recognizing who's already present.
Amen.
When we are holy, spirit, inside-minded, faith becomes natural.
Amen.
Obedience becomes joyful.
Amen.
Amen. Never look at His obedience as a chore. Jesus didn't. Jesus knew what was before Him. And the Bible says, I've come in the volume of Thy book to do Thy will. He said this, I delight to do Your will, O God.
Amen.
When we're conscious of the Holy Spirit, obedience is just something we live in and we walk in. And it should be something we're happy to do.
Amen.
We're joyful about it. Amen?
Amen?
And here's another thing that happens. Boldness becomes normal.
Yeah. Amen.
Boldness becomes normal.
Yeah.
The scripture says that the righteous are bold as a lion.
Yeah.
Not obnoxious as, you know.
No.
Boldness is not being obnoxious.
No.
Boldness is not trying to prove something that you're all that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. No, boldness comes as you stand in the presence of the Spirit of God and you open your mouth and you're able to declare some things very, very boldly and with freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Everyone say, I have freedom of utterance.
I have freedom of utterance.
Now, here's what I really wanted to get to. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is in closing. I do not know how long this closing is going to be. A lot of it depends on how well you listen. This is important for the local church. This is important for the body right here. We're living in the last of the last days. We're living in days of glory upon the earth. We are living right now in days of heaven upon the earth. Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Thy will be done.
Amen.
Where? On earth. Where? As it is in heaven. Woo, glory to God. When the will of God is being done on earth as it is in heaven, woo, my.
Yes.
We can expect some days of glory.
Amen.
Now, I really do not know how much time we have left here on planet Earth. I think sometimes the older we get, we think He's coming tomorrow. But they have been saying that Jesus is coming for decades and decades and centuries. Well, I'll tell you right now, one thing for sure. Here's my prediction. It's closer now than it's ever been. It's closer today than it's ever been. Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, we need to make sure that we live today like He's coming today.
Yes.
On the other hand, we need to make sure that we're praying according to the Word of God for this last time revival, this last time sweep of harvest. I don't know when it's all going to come together, But I do know that we are close to the greatest days of glory in the church world than we've ever been. Now, you and I have something to do with it. Pastor Tom, Pastor Kimberly, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Caleb, we all have our part. Pastor Brenda, we all have our part. But this is not just up to a faithful pastoral staff. This includes everyone in the house. Point your neighbor and say, what I'm about to hear,
it includes me.
It includes all of us. Now notice this. Notice this. In 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 3, verse 16, Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He said here, but do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church in the Bay Area, that you, the whole church at Heart of the Bay, you, the whole church, you are God's temple. You are His sanctuary. He is upon us. Come on. He is within us. But He said, I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. I'll be among you. So among us has to do with a corporate anointing where the Spirit within and the Spirit of upon begins to manifest among us. It's what is called a corporate anointing. You experienced this morning during that song, I Know a Name. The presence of God just fell on this place. Just like a sheet of glory. Just like a sheet of presence. That's the corporate anointing. Now notice again. You, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church in the Bay Area, you are God's temple. You are His sanctuary. And that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Do you see that? Individually, but also corporately. Say with me, thank God for the corporate anointing. And here's what jumped out at me as I was reading the verse. It says, to be at home in you. Yes. To be at home in you. Now, old manuscripts found that the old English word for Holy Ghost was Holy Guest. One writer said it this way. Learn to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit like you would a very special guest in your home. Not only your natural home, but your home here, in this place, in this house. Treat Him, honor Him, host Him as a holy guest. It means include Him, prefer Him, put Him first. Now, in the natural realm, when you think of the Holy Ghost as a guest in your home, it's going to affect the way you talk. It's going to affect your conduct. How about this? It's going to affect the way you treat your spouse. You know, a lot of husbands don't actually get what their wife is saying all the time. You know why? Because they don't listen. Somebody says, how do I know that? I've been reminded of that repeatedly. I'll hear from Brenda on a regular basis. Did you listen to me? You weren't listening. It was like today. She forgot her glasses. And I said, I'll go get them. We were already in the car. She says, it's by my jeweler box. So I went upstairs and I went to her makeup area. And I'm thinking, this is the jewelry box. But it wasn't the jewelry box. So she comes in the house. She says, you weren't listening. It's in my jewelry box by the door over there. That is not honoring my wife. Some of you also need to take a cue on that as well. And when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, It's not honoring him. It's not preferring him. So to honor him as our holy guest in our homes, it'll affect the way we speak. It'll affect how we listen. It will affect our conduct. Now, in this church, it is our responsibility to create an atmosphere that he is comfortable in. He is not comfortable in dissension. He's not comfortable in political fighting. He's not comfortable in any of that stuff. We need to create an atmosphere where he's comfortable and where he's free to move. And you know what? Sometimes that means putting your device away and stop texting.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
I don't know if I said that or not, but I did. And you know what it also means? That means setting your clock. And getting ready ahead of time before you go to church. Praying about the service. Praying for Pastor Tom. My lands, Pastor Tom gets here at 7:30. He needs prayer. Praying for Pastor Mark that he'll get the right tie. Pray. Pray. Pray for your community. Not only pray for your pastors, but pray for one another. Esteem one another. Prefer one another. Honor one another. Treat your brothers and sisters like they are special, because in the eyes and mind of God, they are his special treasure. Amen. That means letting somebody else in line ahead of you at the coffee. Now, I've gone to meddling, but are you getting my point? We need to create an atmosphere where he's comfortable. And so that atmosphere requires preparation. Prepare yourself to hear the word. Don't be looking at your clock and wondering when the service is going to be over. It'll be over before 4 o'clock. Relax. Create this atmosphere. That's what we do when we come together and have united prayer. We don't come and have united prayer and just think about all of our needs. We come unitedly to pray about the needs of the people in the church. And about a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit among us. We pray that everyone that walks through these doors feels and senses the love of God. The table is set. The atmosphere is set. And that's why God is drawing people into this house. Listen very carefully. That is why some people have driven by and stopped and come into this building. And when they have been asked, why, how, I just felt that I should come in. What is that? That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's a result of prayer preparing the way for the goodness of God to be manifest. Prayer is vital. He's our holy guest. We have the responsibility to host him, to honor him. To let him, come on, let him have his way. You know, I prepare all week long for my message on Sunday. But you know, my message on Sunday is not first. My message on Sunday is what he wants to do. What he wants to do. So say it with me. We must prepare and create an atmosphere that he's comfortable in. That means reverencing him, hosting the Holy Ghost, creating an atmosphere for him to move. How many of you know he's a gentleman and he only moves where he is welcomed? And he only stays where he is honored. We must prepare the house before the guest arrives. And he arrives in you and he arrives in me. the indwelling Holy Spirit, may we have a greater appreciation and a greater revelation of this third person of the Godhead who lives on the inside.